title called our Lord Good Master. Now, if he called him Good Master, how much more you and I ought to call him Good Master. He indeed is my master and your master if you rest in him. If you've rested in him, he's your master. You remember this morning we called your attention to that verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where it says, you're not your own. You're not your own. If you rest in him, you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to him who made you. You're his by creative power. You're his by preserving power. And much more his by the fact that he bought you. He paid the ransom price. And the price was his own blood. So you're not your own. If you rest in him, you're not your own. And he is what? He is your master. He's your master. He's your Lord. He governs you. He disciplines you. So he is indeed your master and my master in two ways. Number one, he is a ruling master. He governs me. Number two, he is a teaching master. In that you and I delight to run his errands. We delight to live for him, to serve him, to be here on Sunday evening, Sunday morning, and Wednesday. We delight to be here, to be in this environment. We understand that we're a family. We're the family of God. And we delight to be in the house of God. He's our master. He commands us to do so, but we love to do so. We feel that it's needful for us to be here. We must be here. We're not looking for an excuse not to be here. We're looking for a way to get here. Many people are looking for an excuse, hoping it rains, hoping it snows, hoping someone comes about 7 o'clock, hoping that they'll have to work that night. Anything in order that they might not have to come. But the people of God who are resting in him, he is their master. They're not looking for a way to get out of coming to church, but they're looking for a way to go because they want to be with the people of God and hear about their master. He is their ruling master, and he's a teaching master, and they delight to run his errands, and they delight to sit at his feet. So then, you and I, if we are resting in him, the Lord Jesus, as our Redeemer, then we are both his servant and his disciple. And it's certainly an honor and delight for you and I to be able to own this double character as a servant and as a disciple. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ should ask you this evening, why callest thou me good? That's what he asked this fellow. This fellow said, good master, good master, good master. And the 17th verse, and our Lord answered him like this. He said, why callest thou me good? Now, if he was to ask you and I that question here this evening, said, why do you call me good? What would your reply be? What would your answer be? Would you have to stop and say, well, let me reflect upon a few things here in order that I might come up with a pretty good answer, or an answer that might make some sense? Well, if he should ask me this evening why I call him good, I believe I have a ready answer. I believe I can give a ready answer as to why I call him good master. Now, you know that God is not made good by me or by you. God is not made good by any of his creatures. God is essentially and absolutely good. He partakes of none, but all things partake of Him. Did you ever think of that? He is so good that He gives all and He receives nothing. Did you ever think of God like that? He gives all and does it freely without a spirit of reluctancy to do so, but He gives to all. He makes the sun to shine upon the just as well as the unjust. Those that curse Him the hardest, the sun shines just as bright upon them as it does upon those that love Him. Those that despise Him and use His name only in profanity, the rain nourishes the ground that they till just as much as the ground that's tilled by those that rest in Him. God is absolutely and essentially good in Himself. Absolutely. He gives to all freely and receives nothing. Receives nothing. I don't think that we should ever admit to anything to be ascribed to you and I, which is ought to be ascribed to God Himself. That is, by way of titles. God is good. God is good. Listen, there is none good, He says here. None good but one, and that's God. That's who's good. God is good. Listen, when we call one another good, we call our wives good. We ought to do so with a kind of a reserve clause there. We ought to do so understanding what we mean by the word good. The word good is to be ascribed to God, not to me, not to you. Paul said, there is no good thing in me. That is, in my body of flesh. He said, there's no good thing in me. I hear preachers continuously talking about what a wonderful and good job so-and-so or sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is doing for the Lord. What a good job. My, they are good men and good women. Paul said, I know that dwelleth in this body of flesh, that is, dwelleth in me, no good thing. And we're not good. We're not good. We have more wickedness than goodness. And we ought not to admit anything to be ascribed to us which is proper to be ascribed to God Almighty. He is good. I was reading over here a little bit ago in the book of Job chapter 22. Turn with or chapter 32 and verse 22. I want you to see this verse. Two verses here. In the book of Job, chapter 32, verses 21 and 22. And this pertains to what I'm saying here. Here's a fellow said that I'm full of matter. That is, I'm full of words. And the Spirit within me constraineth me. He said, behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I got to say something here. I got to speak. That's what he's talking about. He said, I'm so bottled up with words given to me by the Spirit of God, I must speak or I'm going to burst. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I have to have some relief. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto men. Don't. He said, I'm not ascribing titles unto men that belongs to God. Flattering titles. Wonder where these folks get this idea of Reverend so-and-so and the right Reverend so-and-so and Father so-and-so. Flattering titles unto men. Certainly you can't find that in the Bible. He says, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. Well, there is none good but one, and that's God. And when we call one another good, why, we just flatter one another because we have more wickedness in us than goodness. And it's part, I think, of idolatry to give men titles which are due to God Almighty Himself. Oh, that we need most of all to meditate, I believe, on the goodness. Oh, the goodness of God. Well, I said to you here at the outset, I said this. I said He's our ruling Master. He is our teaching Master. He rules us. He teaches us. And if He asks us the question here this evening, why callest thou me good? What kind of an answer could we give? What could we say? Well, I know that it's true that there's none good but one, and that's God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He's God. The Lord Jesus, He's God, and all the goodness of deity shines forth in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. In my experience, I have found Him good. I found Him good. I have found Him good, so good, indeed, that all the good I have has come from Him. I don't feel like I've got anything in this world. I can't think of anything right now, offhand, and I don't believe I could if I could give it 24 hours of solid thought. Anything that I have, anything that I hope to be, want to be, desire to be, or will be, that has not come from the bountiful hand of a good and loving and kind Heavenly Father. I'll tell you why I call Him good. Because He's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's so good to me, I can't get along without Him. I can't get along without Him. If, you know, when we're talking about preaching, as I think about me preaching from time to time here and morning and evening and middle of the week and other places and other churches and other times and other cities and all, I think what would I do if I didn't have that? What would I do if I wasn't able to preach? What would I do? I'd just well die. I'd just well die if I couldn't preach. Just as well die. I'd be dead while I was living if I couldn't preach. That's a fact. I don't come here on Wednesdays and Sundays and so forth because I have to, in the sense that I serve for pay. That's not it at all. I come here because woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me. I found of the goodness and the mercy of God, and I must preach. I must preach. I've got to preach. I want to preach. I desire to preach. And if I couldn't preach, I'd just well be dead. If I couldn't preach and I couldn't enjoy what I enjoy now, I'd just as well be dead. I'm not interested in anything else. I use the world. I don't want to abuse the world, but I want to use it to the glory of God. But to have a lasting, abiding interest in the things of time, I have not. I tell you this, before God, my interest is in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of this one who is a good Master, who said, why callest thou me good? Say, well, don't you think you'll retire? A man only retires from that which he doesn't like. That's the reason a man retires. You retire from your job is because you're tired of it. You're tired of it and you don't like it, so you quit. Am I going to retire? I'm not going to retire. The only time I'm going to retire is when I can't preach. When I can't preach, when I just can't preach no more and the people won't listen to me, then I'll have to quit. But I'm not going to retire from something that I like, something that I enjoy, something that's my life. This is my life. This is all I've got. It's my life. If my wife doesn't fit into this, she'll not be able to have a part of it. That's all they are to it. If my boys can't fit into this, they can't have a part of it. Because this is my life. I'm dead serious about this. I'm not playing. I'm serious. This is all I want. It's all I need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I found Him to be good. I want to exalt Him, and I want others to hear about Him. I want to tell the story over and over and over. I found Him to be good. Why callest thou me good? Why do you call me good? Well, in my experience, I found Him good. I found Him good. So good that everything that I have comes from Him. Oh, let me tell you just a few things here, and I'll not keep you long here this evening. Just a few things. Listen. He is good to me. He was good to me in that He chose me before time ever was. That's being good, isn't it? Why callest thou me good? Well, you're good, Heavenly Father. You're good, Lord Jesus, because you chose me before I was born. You chose me before time ever was. You chose me before there was one blade of grass ever come through God's earth. You chose me in yourself before there was one drop of rain that ever hit this ground. You chose me before there's one star pinned in the sky. You chose me before there was one cloud that hovered over this land. You chose me before the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies. I tell you, why callest thou me good? Because He chose me in Christ before time ever was. That's one reason I can give for why I call Him good. And the second thing I can say is that He chose me and loved me while I was an enemy. I was an enemy. The Bible says that the natural man, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. That is, the carnal mind in its carnal state, the natural man in its natural state, is at enmity, is hostile towards God. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved me when I despised Him. When I despised Him and hated Him and had no use for Him, yet He loved me. He loved me and gave Himself for me. You ask me why I call Him good master? I call Him good master because He chose me in Christ before time ever was. I tell you, I call Him good master because He loved me and gave Himself for me while I was yet an enemy, opposed to Him, opposed to God, hated Him and despised Him, and would not even mention any good thought about Him apart from profanity. I'll tell you, brethren, He was good to me when I was dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead before God for the wanton lack of love to Jesus Christ, God's Son. Dead. D-E-A-D. I was going to say D-E-D. D-E-D. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. How dead can a man be? Can't get him dead enough before God. He dead. He stinketh. He dead before God. Oh, why callest thou me good? Well, He was good to me when I was dead in trespasses and in sins. He raised me. He came along, Bob, by and through His Spirit, through the Word. And He raised me by His power. Quickened me from this dead state and give me a heart to love Him. Give me a mind to understand, a heart to accept, a mind to believe. The willingness to submit, the willingness to bow down. He came and turned me from one direction and sent me in another direction. He gave me, I had physical life. I lived and moved and had my being and was able to talk and was able to, had appetites and all of that. But I had no spiritual life. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. But He is good to me. God, He could have passed me by. He could have passed me by. He was so good to me that when He came in my direction, He came where I was and He stooped. He stooped and He stuck His hand into the innermost being of my heart and touched me and gave me life and said, "Come, my child." He could have walked on by me. He wasn't obligated. There wasn't anything in me that would entice His favor. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. I was nasty. I was nasty and dead and abominable in His sight. But He came where I was. He came where I was like the leper. Here come the leper down off of the mountain. And he fell at the Savior's feet. And he said, Lord, You can if You will. Lord, You can if You will. Make me whole, You can if You will. You our Lord did. That leper. That despised, filthy, diseased leper that no one would touch. His family wouldn't even touch him. His children wouldn't even hug him and kiss him and tell him good night. Couldn't, because he was so defiled. So defiled. But God, who is absolutely, essentially pure and holy, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came down there. He touched. Our Lord. Can you see our Lord putting His hand on that filthy leper? Nobody else have anything to do with him. Everywhere I went, he said, unclean, unclean. Don't come near me. Don't breathe the same air I breathe. Don't do it. Get out of here. Don't sit where I've been sitting. Don't rub up against me. Unclean, unclean. Our Lord reached out there and touched him. He said, be thou clean. Be thou clean. That's the way He did every sinner. Every sinner. See how filthy you and I. Why callest thou me good? Because I was dead in trespasses and in sins. Because I was an enemy of God and hated and despised God in my heart and was determined to go in my own direction. Yet God came where I was and touched me and revealed His Son in me. Why callest thou me good? I can give you a number of reasons. Oh, when the black finger of sin marred my soul as well as yours. When selfishness defiled our tears, and the best thing we ever did only swelled the number of our sins. When we were the most pure in our own sight. Yet God loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ touched us. Oh, He's unspeakably good. Unspeakably good. Thanks be unto God for His unsearchable riches. Pure as gold is the truth that this our Savior teaches. Well, listen, He was good to me because He made me to see. What? He was good to me. Listen to this. I want you to remember this. I want you to write this down. Listen, He was good to me in that He made me to see that I had no goodness. Boy, that was good. He was good to me. You get this now. This will open up some things for you. Listen to me now. He was good to me in that He made me to see that I have no goodness. If you ever come to that place that you see you have no goodness, I'll tell you, you're on the threshold of entering in. Oh, He was good to me that He made me see that I was filthy and impure in His sight. And my righteousness, at my very best state, at the apex of my experience, was as filthy rags in His sight. He was good to me in that He laid down His life for me. No man took His life from Him. No, He was God. He had all power over things in heaven and things in earth, and they came to Him. And looked like that they was going to take Him, but they came to Him and with lanterns and sticks and staves and so forth. And it says that just that whole legion of them just fell down right there in His presence. Whole legion of them. He could have just walked off. Walked over top of them. They didn't take Him. He laid down His life willingly, voluntarily, gladly, cheerfully. He laid it down. No man took His life from Him. Why callest thou me good? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who had power over death and power over life, who is the Prince of life, laid His life down for me. That's why I call Him good. Oh, because He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Why callest thou me good? Because He said, fear not, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. I want you to see this verse. John chapter 15. 15th chapter of the book of John. The 9th verse. found at? That's a good verse. John 15 and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Let me talk to you just a minute about this love. Why? Why callest thou me good? Why call you good, our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you love me. Because you love me. He loves me. Boy, God Almighty loves me. That can't be. That can't be. You're just one insignificant grasshopper here. Creature of the dust. You mean God in who cannot be comprehended? The vastness of God is so great that the heavens cannot contain Him, and you stand up there as one little old a peanut brain, a finite creature, and say that God actually loves you. He loves everyone who rests in Him. Listen, He loves me not because of what I'm able to do. I know that's contrary to what most think. Most think that, well, you know, if they do something, why, then that obligates God to do something for them. Well, He loves me, and if you rest in Him, He loves you not because of what you're able to do, but He loves you and He loves me because we are His children. That's the reason He loves us. He loves us because we are His children. We have been begotten by Him, and we are His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the children of God. Oh, look, let me give you an example here. Look at this helpless, tottering baby, the object of constant care and attention. Can't leave this baby. Got him in this little crib here. You got to be running in every little bit to look at the baby. You got to see, maybe he's got the cover too far on his face. Maybe he'll smother. Maybe he'll get turned over and get in the pillow, mixed up in the pillow, and smother. His pants has got to be changed. He's got to have milk. He's got to be fed. Constant care. The object of constant care is this helpless, tottering baby. Wholly unable, now listen to me, wholly unable to promote his father or mother's interest in any one single solitary way, yet he, this tottering, helpless infant, is so loved by his father and his mother that he would not exchange him for 10,000 worlds like this. Huh? If it is like this with our earthly parents, our earthly father, what must it be with my heavenly Father? He loves us not for what we're able to do, but because we are his children. Isn't that good? He loves us because we're his children. You say, well, I'm not a preacher and I don't spend 5 hours every day in prayer, and I haven't read the Bible through 40 times, and I'm not able to quote all the scriptures. But listen, you're resting in Him. You're resting in Him. Why callest thou me good? God loves you because you're His child if you're resting in Him. He loves you. He loves you. Well, you say, preacher, what's this 9th verse of the 15th chapter got to do with that? All right, look at it. As the Father hath loved me. Now, there may be some conjecture on your part as to whether God loves you or not. But I'll tell you this, there cannot be any conjecture as to whether the Father loves the Son. Now, there can't be no questions there at all. No room for argument or debate there. God loves His Son. That's all. This is my beloved Son. This is He. Hear ye Him. Do what He tells you. my son, the son of my love. He's the darling of my bosom. He's the apple of my eye. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the fairest of the fairest. I love him. I love my son. I love him. Listen, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So have I loved you. As the Father loves the Son, in the same manner, Jesus loves His people. Why callest thou me good? I call you good, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I call you good, Heavenly Father, because you love me. You love me. You love me just as you loved your Son. Your Son loves me as you loved Him. Well, that's what it says. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Just as God, just to the measure of love that the Father has to the Son, the Son says, the same measure have I to you. Have I given you any reasons here? Have I given you any reasons here this evening? If the Father would say, why callest thou me good? Could you be able to tell Him why He's good? Huh? Well, you could tell Him here, because the Savior loves me. Because the Savior loves me just like you love the Savior. Well, what is this divine method? All right, number one. God loved the Son without beginning. There's no beginning to the love of the Father to the Son. Does not the Scripture say that God loves His Son with an everlasting love? Certainly does. He loved Him without beginning. You can trace, I'm sure, the beginning of human affection. You can trace the beginning of your feelings of love towards your wife. Yeah, you can go back. There was a time you didn't love her. As a matter of fact, there's a time you didn't even know her. But there was a time that came in your life when you said to yourself, well, before God, I can't live without this woman. I can't live without her. You know what Glenn said? Glenn said that fella came to him and he said, tell me you're going to get married, Glenn. Glenn said, that's right, I'm planning on getting married. Who are you marrying? Marrying Jean Graham up to Rachel. He said, well, I want to tell you something. So what's that? Speak on. He said, well, listen. He said, they look good enough to eat before you marry them, but he said, after you marry them, you wish you had them. That's what he said. But Glenn told me since that, he said, that's not true. He said, there'd never been any change. And I know there hadn't been. I know that. Well, you see what I'm talking about? I'm saying that there's a time that you can trace your affection to your wife, or your wife can trace the beginning of her affections towards you. You can do that. That's right. You can easily find the beginning of your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you first loved Him, you can find that. But listen, His love to us, God's love to us, is as a river whose stream or whose source is hidden in the vastness of eternity past. You can't find that. You can't find it. Three things here and then I'll quit. God loves the Lord Jesus Christ without any change. He loves Christ without any change. Take this for your comfort here this evening, that there is no change in His love to you and I in whom we rest. No change. You think, well, you know, now you say, well, boy, I feel so good tonight. I feel so good. I love the preacher. I love my wife. I love my children. Tomorrow you may not feel that way. You say, well, I wish the preacher hadn't said that. That made me mad. I don't think near as much of Him right now as I did last night. My wife, I wish she hadn't crossed me like that. I just don't feel right towards it. And we get to equating our feelings, earthly feelings, and try to bring God into the picture and make God feel like we do. I want to tell you here, if you can get anything here this evening, learn this, that the love of God in Christ to those that rest in Him never changes. Never. Bless God, that's good. Never changes. Thy love may grow cold and dim and change and rise like a thermometer, up and down. But this is the grace of God. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Listen, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. God has never been angry with His Son. He never fell out with His Son. He never looked upon His Son and said, well, I disagree. Well, He's my child and He's blood of my blood and so forth. And I'll just leave Him go. I won't say anything. But I just know He's wrong. No, they were in perfect harmony and union and agreement in all things. God always loved Him. He had no beginning. God always loved Him and always has loved Him and always will love Him. And the same measure of the love of the Father to the Son, Jesus said, even so have I loved you. Oh, why callest thou me good? Why? Because you love me. You love me without change. You love me without end. And you love me without measure. Love me without any end. That is, He'll never cease to love me. Never cease to love me. Well, He will if God ceases to love His Son. If you can conceive that there'll come a time when God will turn His back on the Lord Jesus Christ one more time and say, I don't love you. I have nothing to do with you. Desert you and your cause and your claims, kick you out of heaven. Well, then you have reason to fear and reason to worry. I don't think you're going to have any reason like that. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in this love, this same type of love. Jesus loves without change. God loves His Son without end, and God loves His Son without measure. That is, that the whole heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is dedicated to His own. To His own. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is completely dedicated in one direction to one object, and that's His own people. Let me tell you how much He loved us. Why callest thou me good? Because you love me. Because you love me. How much did you love me? Well, He gave Himself for me. That's how much He loved me. He gave Himself for me.